You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
Where we find ourselves right now, even in South Africa, the gospel is more important than ever before. A gospel that can truly change people's lives. You know, they say in South Africa that 80% of us are Christians. But if 80% are Christians, we have to ask some questions, amen? Do we understand the gospel? Because faith is not for the possible, faith is for the impossible. The grace of God is for the impossible. And this gospel has got power. It's got resurrection power that any situation that seems impossible can change. Can I have an amen? Amen. I mean, I want to be a part of the kingdom where there's light that can really expel darkness. Light that expels darkness. The blessing that's so great that it absorbs the curse. And I really want to share about how we live and what we believe in, and even who we are as household of Christ, because many times people don't understand how a certain thing is working. And by the grace of God, I want to divide between soul and spirit. Because many times we serve God with our minds, with our souls, but it's really all about the spirit. We are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. Our faith is not something that comes from our souls, our mind, our intellect. But true authentic faith is something that comes from the regenerated spirit of man. Not being convinced, but being converted. And we have to ask ourselves, if 80% of Christians in South Africa are truly walking with the Spirit of God on the inside, why has things not changed? Are we perhaps convinced and not converted? That we have to go look at our own hearts and examine our own hearts? Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation." This gospel brings salvation and it changes people's lives. For everyone who believes, first the Jew, but also for the Greek. The gospel is for everybody. Everybody in South Africa should get saved. Everybody should experience salvation. So the change that we need is not something from the outside, but from the inside. If you change from the inside, things on the outside will start to change. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. This is the key of the gospel, righteousness. In this, the righteousness of God is revealed. Matthew 6:33. First seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. But a gospel has been preached out there to seek all the add-ons. And let's talk about righteousness later. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is the power of the gospel. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Not self-righteousness. The Pharisees were self-righteous. They could do everything right. They kept the law. But we're talking about the righteousness that comes from Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin so that we can become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This power of the gospel is amazing. But it's not about the power, it's about His presence. Many people seek the healing, but they don't want to be friends with the healer. Many people are seeking deliverance, but they're not interested in a relationship with the deliverer. So it's not about the power, it's about having a relationship with Him. So are you ready for this message? So let's go to John 3 verse 1. A man, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He was teaching Israel about the law, the word of God. I'm preaching today about a gospel for the impossible. A gospel for the impossible. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace. Thank you for your word that is true. Thank you that your people will hear your voice upon my voice. Touch and change hearts, O Father, for people to be truly converted, O Father, and to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that. We bless you for that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody with faith in their heart said? So John chapter 3 verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. That's what people want to see. They want to see that God is with you. Amen? He was a teacher. He knew the word of God. He'd been teaching longer than Jesus. And he came to Jesus. He said, listen, I know the word of God. I preach the word of God. I have many followers listening to me. But I don't have signs and wonders in my life. I believe in God. But I know that God is definitely with you because I see the signs, wonders, and miracles. Why is this, Jesus? Because everybody wants to be part of a kingdom where things that are impossible can become possible. Am I talking to the right people here? When they say it cannot be done, you want to say it can be done. When they say you're going to go under, you say, no, we're going to go over. You want to be part of a gospel like that. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And he says, can I just talk to you? And we know the story. Jesus says to him, you must be born again. If you're not born again. And he says, how can I be born again? How can I enter into my mother's womb again? Verse 5, and Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you have to be baptized with water and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that's not the man next to Jesus on the cross. He wasn't baptized in water or in the Spirit. He just accepted Jesus Christ. He's saying if you want to enter into this kingdom here on earth, you need to be born of water. Your mother's water needs to break. And you have to have a natural birth here on earth. And then there needs to be a second birth when you are born of the Spirit. He says, so Nicodemus, you were born once and you need to get born a second time. You need to get born again. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why I know the previous verse is talking about that because he's talking about that which is flesh and that which is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And here Nicodemus is now confused. He says, what are you talking about? He's got the best Torah. He's got the best robe. He can articulate. He's got the crowd. And he's preaching the word of God. But their lives are not changing. And Jesus said to him, you need to get born again. Let me put it in another way. You can have the best surfboard. You can be the best surfer. You can have the best wetsuit. You can be at the best beach to surf. It's still God who must give the wave. Or there's no surfing. If God does not send his wind to touch the wave and let the water rise up and cause it to be a wave, there's no surfing happening. And he's saying, Nicodemus, this is how born again people are. They're like a wind. You can feel it. You can see it, but you don't always know how it's going to work. The one day it's fanning a flame on the inside, the next day it's filling the sails of a boat. And he says, this is how born again people are. And I'll tell you, this is the secret. That word wind in Greek is pneuma. It's the word for breath. Breath. Wind. Breath. In the Hebrew, in Genesis 1:3, it's ruach. Ruach. The breath of God. The wind of God. Amen. Rabbis teach. So Jesus is saying this to him. He's a rabbi. So rabbis teach that the first thing a baby ever says is the name of God. And the last thing that when you die, what you say is the name of God. Because that sound, if you take the word Yahweh, it's Yahweh. Maybe you've seen some videos that people have made. So he's teaching him, he says, listen here, the breath of God, this is what it's about to be born again. Let me ask you this. How long can you keep your breath? Anybody that can do it for 30 seconds? Raise your hand. Anybody for 1 minute? I know there's some divers sitting here. 2 minutes? But most of us here, if we're without oxygen for 5 minutes, you're dead. If you don't have breath for 5 minutes, you're dead. Any doctors that can confirm that for us? 3 minutes. Okay. I've watched some videos where people can keep for 5 minutes, but 3 minutes, you're dead. Now just think about this. You need breath, wind, air. If it's gone for 3 minutes, you're dead. We are compared to a body, the body of Christ. The body of Christ without the breath of God is dead. Dead. This is what we need in churches. It's the wind of God, the life of God. Structure, you might have structure, but if there's not breath, you're dead. We have many churches with structure, but they don't have the breath of God in them anymore. And that's our problem. Because if there's the breath of God, everything about you will change. Jesus says to him, in verse 10, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Can I tell you something? For us to change this nation, a city, a community, we need to become heavenly minded and not earthly minded. You need to be able to have heaven's view of the situation and not an earthly view. You know, many times they talk about an eagle's view or eye's view from the top. When you can just see what's going on, oh no, okay, the situation is not that bad. But when you're in it, in that cloud, it's very difficult to see what's going on. That's why many times, even when you're going through a difficult situation and circumstances, they'll take you out of your circumstances, they'll take you out of that circle. And once they take you out of that circle that you are trapped in and you look in, then you say, oh, okay, it's not that bad. You have a new view of it. Jesus says, when you are born again, you have a different view of things. How many Christians that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again, their view has changed about their situation, their circumstances, and the things around them? Because when you are born of God, your view should change. Let me go on. Read verse 13. one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. He said, Nicodemus, let me explain something to you. I'm from heaven. I'm born from heaven. I might be talking to you here right now on earth, but I'm actually in heaven. I want to tell you, when you are born again, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 6, you are seated in heavenly places. You are seated in heavenly places. Our view of things should change when you are born again. Turn to the person next to you and ask them, say, are you born again? Say, are you sure? Born again? Remember, there's two realms. There's the realm of victory in Christ Jesus. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He says, there's another kingdom. And Nicodemus, if you want to enter into this kingdom, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. Because then your nature changes. You need to experience a natural birth. But then there's a spiritual birth. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. But I want to tell you, when you are born of the Spirit, you have a heavenly view, and you can manifest heaven here on earth. Am I talking to the right people? What Jesus is actually saying to him, he says, I've brought a solution here to this earth, a new kingdom, a new way of doing things. When you are facing hell, don't throw hell at it. He says, Nicodemus, I know you've been trained an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I'm telling you now, the new way of doing things is not an eye for an eye. We don't fight fire with fire. When hell manifests around us, we pray heaven down. When somebody curses me, I bless them. When they despitefully use me, I pray for them. When they want to take my jacket, I give them two. When they say go 1 mile, I go 2 miles. He says this kingdom operates and functions differently to anything that you understand or ever been a part of. And if you're not born again, you won't have revelation and understanding of this. Many people say that they have Jesus in their lives, but they're serving God still from the realm of the senses, what they see, what they hear, what they feel. Instead of being born again and getting heaven's opinion. Am I talking to the right people here? If we are going to change this nation, see the name of Jesus work in the Spirit, we need people that are born again. When people hate, that we can love. When they curse, we can bless. You need the Spirit of God to help you to be able to do that. Otherwise, when there's so many people, you'll walk in and you'll walk out. He says, sorry, this is not for me. When you start reasoning here, you'll just walk in and walk out. But when you are led here, you say, God, the power of the gospel for the Greek and for the Jew, for everybody, that righteousness in me manifesting faith to faith. The just now can live by faith. To be born again, you're going to have to hold on to the Spirit of God to help you. When God starts to breathe into your situation will start to change. The thing is, most of us, when we look at our situation, we just go, But when you have revelation, when you see that situation, Yahweh. Every time you breathe, when you are born again, you are breathing the breath of Christ Himself into that situation. Let me take you to a scripture you know, Ezekiel 37, verse 1. You all know that. Love Ezekiel 37. Let's go there quickly. The hand of the Lord came upon me. Nicodemus, we can see God is with you, Jesus. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit. Can I just say, it's very important that the hand of God must be on a church. I shared with people when we started this church I said, God, if you don't light the candle, this is one service and we're going on. Not going to have. And when we got, I saw that vision with the hand of God coming down, lighting the candle. And the candle burning, which represents the church, I knew it was a fire from heaven. That fire, even if there's a hurricane, nobody can put it out because it's a fire that comes from heaven. The hand of the Lord came upon me, brought me out into the spirit, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Can I tell you what's the problem today? Most of us say, Lord, your will, not my will. But you've got so many preconceived ideas in your heart of what God's will is, that when the Spirit of God wants to lead you into a valley to go help people with dry bones, you say, no, God has predestined me a high heel. God has predestined me, I'm going to be in the penthouse. God has predestined me, I'm going to be on the highest hill with the biggest house. And God is looking for people to take them into the valley to go and help people. But everybody wants to be on the high hill. Everybody wants to be in the penthouse. Am I talking to the right people? The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness. When last did you help somebody in a valley?
No, God will never take me into a valley.
There's scriptures in the Bible that say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Amen? Let me tell you, sometimes you can stay in a penthouse and be going through a valley. But then because everybody thinks you're up there, you can go to nobody. Verse 2, let's go on. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Oh my God, how many dead bones do we have around us right now in this nation? Unemployment, I mean, it's so high, it's a dead bone. What are we saying? Oh, it's just going to get worse. No. The economy, the rand dollar, corruption, all this road rage, angry people. Am I the only one living in South Africa? Your problem may be pointing you to death, but the Word of God is pointing you to life. And indeed, they were very dry. I mean, sometimes it's okay to look at the bones and to think it's very dry. Amen? And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. In Romans 4, Abraham believed that which is dead can live. That which is dead can live. The truth is, all of us have been dead bones. But when God breathed in us, John 20 verse 22, go read it. Jesus breathed upon his disciples. And when he breathed upon his disciples, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the breath of God, the Ruach. He says, what's going to happen here? When you start to prophesy, the breath of God will enter them. What does Isaiah say? There's nobody saying restore. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42:22. It says, nobody says restore. People are trapped. People are robbed, people are plundered, and nobody says restore. So when we see a plundering, when we see robbing, when we see corruption, when we see every evil, don't come in agreement with that. You have the breath of God on the inside of you. Hear what the Word of God is saying about it and start to prophesy over it. Say, restore, restore, restore. And you'll see the breath of God will enter it. And things will start to change. Jesus' own disciples, he breathed on them. When he breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. When God breathes on you, your nature will change. Your behavior will change. Adam was a living soul. But the last Adam became a life-giving spirit, is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it was written, the first Adam became a living being, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. You need to be born of water. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And he's the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. John 1:13, what does it say? It's not just those that are born of blood, of the flesh, but those who are born of God, born of the Spirit. When you are born of the Spirit, you start to bear the image of the heavenly man, Christ Jesus. Are you bearing the image of the heavenly man? When we start to bear the image of the heavenly man, you'll start to think heavenly things, things from above. Is anything impossible for heaven? No. All things are possible for heaven. Amen? All things are possible. So even when you are looking at dead bones, situation can change. Can I tell you what the problem is? We do what we want to do in that situation. Just go back to Ezekiel 37, verse 10 quickly. Just put verse 10 on. I just want to show you something. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them. You know what's the problem today? People are prophesying not what God commanded them. They're prophesying what they want. They're saying what they desire. But when you prophesy what God said, breath came into them and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Get heaven's opinion about your marriage. Get heaven's opinion about your business. Get heaven's opinion about your children. Get heaven's opinion and don't say what people are saying. Get heaven's opinion and allow the breath of God to enter into that situation. When the breath of God enters into a situation, everything will change. The sons of Zebedee, before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they wanted to call down fire on Samaria. But after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, they could go now and preach the gospel. Let me tell you something. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you start to prophesy the Word of God, Job says, you will decide a thing, you will decree it, and the light of God's favor will start to shine upon all your ways when you declare the Word of God. Where there's darkness, declare the Word of God. Where there's sickness, declare the Word of God. Where there's anger, where there's poverty, where there's whatever thing, go and declare the Word of God into that situation. And you'll see how things will change. When you are truly born again, You bear the image of the heavenly man on the inside of you. Nicodemus could not understand this. Jesus said to him, it's like a wind, it's like a breath. It's the breath of God, the Spirit of God. When you are born of the Spirit, you are breathing Jesus. Everything you touch is blessed. Amen? You've become the enemy of the enemy. Some of you are so scared of the enemy, but you don't know the enemy is scared of you. And you live in fear. I'm going to close with this. Jesus' disciples has done a miracle. They're being questioned. They're in big trouble. Acts 4, verse 13. They knew the key was not to suppress the flesh, but the key is to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they were not trained by Nicodemus. They didn't know what happened. Where did they get this knowledge? Where did they get this boldness to speak like this? But the Bible says, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. What did they say? They realized, oh my word, you know what happened? Jesus breathed on them. And when he breathed on them, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of the fear of the Lord was on them. And with boldness, they could stand and they could preach. And where there was darkness, they could declare light. And they were, where there was no hope, they could declare hope. And they could change the situation, not because of who they were, but because they were bearing the image of the heavenly man. Family, listen to me. Whatever situation you are facing, why don't you start to prophesy and declare the word of God? Surely God will allow the breath of God to enter your situation. And where there's dry bones, even if they are very dry, turn to the person that you say, I have some very dry bones. Now tell them, I've got some news for that very dry bones. The breath of God is going to hover over them. Even God the Father did not prophesy and declare one word in Genesis 1 verse 3 before the Ruach, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters. Can I tell you something? When people are facing impossibilities, when hopelessness grips their hearts, when fear grips their heart, I'm sick, I think I'm going to die. They're looking for somebody with the breath of God that can just come and walk. Can you please come and pray for me? I'm on my way. Yeah, way. You can keep calm. And there's winds on the outside causing a storm. And they say, just call that person with the wind on the inside that's got peace on the inside. And you can come into that situation. There can be a storm, but because of the breath of God, the wind of God on the inside, the peace that God gives you, not the peace of this world, you can come and you can speak to that storm and say, be still. And you know the breath of God will enter into that situation. Jesus told his disciples, he said, listen here. When they asked him how to pray, he says, your prayers will be different now because you're going to be born again. You're going to bear the heavenly image with a heavenly nature. So I want you, when you're here on earth and you're facing hell, pray heaven down. Say, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give the Lord a hand. Whatever situation you are facing, God will allow his breath to enter into that situation. You have the divine nature of God on the inside when you are born from above. People are looking for hope. impossible situations. This kingdom is designed to turn things around. When something things seems impossible, it can now become possible. Because of the Word of God, because of the light of God, because of the life of God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.